Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shur. Meseches Yoma has been dedicated by Dr. and Mrs. Robert Goodman. Le'iloi Nishmas, Chaim Menachem Aaron ben Yecheskel Nechemya.
The Gemara brings down the Braisa, Minayin Shli Heidavar Kodim L'Tamid Shel Shachar. How do we know that no karbonis are supposed to be brought before the Tamid Shel Shachar? Talmud Lomer V'Arach Aleha Ha'Oilah. The Pasuk says, V'arach aleha, it's talking about the Maracha, and it says you should erect the oila on the Maracha. V'amarav ha'oila, hi oila rishayna. Ha'oila, oila rishayna means that when it says ha'oila, with the hey ha'idiyah, it's referring to the oila rishayna, which is the Tamid Shel Shachar. Toisfis in Dibra Maskal Ha'oila Oila Rishayna asks Tema, Lama Likra, why do we need a pasuk of Ha'oila Oila Rishayna? Typically, Mimilvad Oila Saboiker Asher Ha'oila Satamid. There's a pasuk that's talking about the Karban Musaf, and it says that you're supposed to bring it Milvad aside from the Oila Saboiker Asher Ha'oila Satamid, the Nafka Laminebe Per Klatadir, Klatadir Mechavere, Kodim Ischavere. From there, we learn that whatever is Tadir, something that's more common, that's more Tadir than something else, it is Kodim. Toisus' first suggestion is to say that you need the pasuk that tells me kolatadim chaveri kodim eschaveroi to teach me that the tamid comes before karban musaf, and the pasuk in our sugya comes to tell me that the tamid precedes nedarim and nedavis. And Toisus explains that there's a tzrichase in each one. There's a maila in the karban musaf because it is kavu alayz man, and there's a maila in nedarim and nedavis that are shchicha b'chol yom. It's possible to bring them any day. But Tosfos brings various gemaras that show that this is not the case. We do not learn from the pasuk of Milvad Oila Saboiker Dafka Din that it's Kodim Lukarb Musaf. You see gemaras that bring down the pasuk of Ha'oila Oila Rishayna, also Lagabi Musaf. And so Tosfos answers that Ha'oila Oila Rishayna is teaching me that the Haktara of the Talmud comes before the Haktara of other Karbonis. And the Pasuk of Movat Oil Saboiker teaches me that the Shechita of the Talmud comes before the Shechita of other Karbonis. Now the Mikdash David in Simit Tes wants to answer Tosis Kasha based on the Rabbeinu Gershom in Menachas Dab Mem Tes Amid Aleph. Over there the Gemara says that a Tzibur She'en Lahem Tmidim Umusafin. They don't have enough money to acquire Tmidim and Musafin. They could use only one of the two. So the Gemara asks, Ezamehem Koidim, which one takes precedence? The Gemara says, Heichi Dami. What's the case? Ilema Tmidin Diyoyme Umusafin Diyoyme. If we're talking about the Tmidin of this day and the Musaf of this day, Pshita Tmidin Adifi Dahavle Tadir Umikudosh. Tmidin being contrasted to Musafin are both Tadir and Mekudosh. Now we have to understand, what does that mean that it's Tadr and Mekudosh? Tadr, we know what it means. It's brought every day. Musafin are not brought every day. So it's more common. But Mekudosh, the Rabbeinu Gershom and Rashi also in his Lishna Basra over there, both say that Mekudosh means that the Hakrava of the Tamid is Koidemes Bizman. It comes earlier in its Hakrava than the Karban Musaf. Now that's a very strange statement, because what is the reason why we bring the Karban Tamid before the Karban Musaf? Only because Tadir. So how can you call that two different milas that it has? Number one, Tadir. Number two, Mekudosh. The whole idea of Mekudosh, if you say it means that you bring it before the Karban Musaf, that's built on the fact that it's Tadir. Says the Mikdash David that al karchach you see that the fact that you bring it before the Karban Musaf is not a product of the fact that it's Tadir. It's because of this new pasuk called Ha'oila Oila Rishayna. There is a special din in the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar that it has to be the first Karban of the day. It's not only because it's more Tadir than other Karbanis, rather it's a special din Ha'oila Oila Rishayna. It is supposed to be the first Karban. So that's two separate milas. And, says the Mikdash David, there's an afkamina between the two reasons. If it would only be for the time of Tadir, v'she'enu Tadir, Tadir Koidim, claims the Mikdash David, you would be allowed to bring the Karban Tamid and the Karban Musaf at the same exact time. Because he says that the Iker Kpeda of bringing a Tadir before she'enu Tadir is not that there's a din kedima to the Tadir and it must precede the Einai Tadir. Rather, he says that the din of Tadir she'enu Tadir, Tadir Kodim is a halacha, that the Einai Tadir is not allowed to be brought before the Tadir. So if you would only have the reason of Tadir she'enu Tadir, Tadir Kodim, it would be okay to bring them simultaneously, because then you're not bringing the Einai Tadir before the Tadir. That's why, says the Mikdash David, we need to have a special pasuk of a oila oila rishayna tell telling me that the Tamid must be the first carbon of the day. It has to precede all of other carbonas. It happens to be that the hanocha that he's making, that the din of tadr v'she'enu tadr tadr koydim, does not tell me that the tadr must precede the enu tadr. Rather, it's just the halacha that the enu tadr cannot come before the tadr. That hanocha is debatable. Rabbi Chanan, in the Kavit Shiurim in Pesachim, the beginning of Perek Tavit Nishchat, assumes that that is not the case. The tadr v'she'enu tadr tadr koydim means that the tadr must precede the enu tadr. But the Mikdash David is assuming the opposite, and therefore he's saying that we need a special pasuk to tell me that the tamid has to dafka precede other karbonis, because there's a new halacha that the tamid must be the first carbon of the day. Another nafkamina, he says, as a possibility, that if you just have the time of tadr v'sheinu tadr tadr koydim, what would be the halacha if you don't have them both in the azara now? The karbon atadr is not present. If it would only be because of the time of tadr v'sheinu tadr tadr koydim, then we would say that you don't have to bring the tadr because the tadr is not befaneinu. It's a halacha of kedima if you have both karbonis in front of you. Masha'en kein, when you deal with the time of ha'oila oila rishayna, there's a special stipulation that the tamid must be the first carbon of the day. Now, it's worthwhile to point out that the reason why Tosfos does not agree with what the Mikdash David is saying is because it seems that Tosfos understands the geder, and we'll see this from within the Tosfos itself, that the geder of the Gzeres HaKos of Ha'oila Oila Rishayna is also a din kedima. It's not a new halacha that the tamid must be the first carbon. Rather, it's just a din kedima that you have to put the tamid before another carbon. Which is why Tosfos needs to find a tzrichasa. Tosfos says that it's basically the same halacha being told to us twice. So Tosfos says it's either coming to tell us one le'inyan darim and adavis that there's a din kedima, and one le'inyan musafin that there's a din kedima, or like Tosfos ends up answering that one pasuk relates to haktara, one relates to avodas hadam. But the point is that they all have the same geder. And you see this in the Hemshech of the Tosfos as well, because Tosfos gives another teretz, and this appears in Tosfos in the beginning of the 10th Perek of Zvachim, Daf Pei Tesemet Aleph, and in the beginning of Perek Tamid Nishchan and Psachim, that the reason why we need the pasuk of Ha'oila, Oila Rishayna, is to tell me that the Tamid comes before the Minchas Chavitim. The Minchas Chavitim, says Tosfos, is just as Tadir as the carbon Tamid. It's brought every day. Tosfos explains that the reason why the Tamid comes before the Minchas Chavitim is, he says, because it's Mekudish Me'a Mincha. It's more Kadosh than the Minchas Chavitim, like the Mishnah says in Zvachim, Kol HaMekudish Chaveiroi, Koidim Es Chaveiroi. Minei Damim Koidmin Leminochis. You see that Tosfos understands the geder that the tamid precedes other karbonis is not because the tamid has to be the first carbon, rather because it has a din kedima. It's the same din kedima that said le'inyan kol atadim mechaveri koidem lechaveri kol amukurish mechaveri koidem lechaveri. It's the halacha that certain things take precedence and come before other things because they are more important for whatever reason, but not because of a special halacha that the tamid has to be the first carbon of the day. There's actually a nafkamina even for us nowadays that there is no Beis HaMikdash. So unfortunately, we don't bring the carbon tamid. Nevertheless, this is negeya by tefillah, which is b'mokim tamidim. Because there is a discussion that takes place amongst the poiskim. Rabbi Yizrachon Inspector in Shailos Tshuvas Be'er Yitzchak Arachayim Simen Chaf paskins, if somebody comes late to shul, he comes and he finds that the tzibur is davening musaf. He has not yet davened tefillah shachris. What should he do? Should he daven musaf together with the tzibur, because then it will be mekayim the din of tefillah b'tzibur, or should he rather do things in the proper order, daven shachris b'yechidus, and then musaf also b'yechidus, because at least he'll be putting shachris before musaf, because the karban tamid comes before the karban musaf. Paskin Zerbitzlochonet, that he should daven Musa together with the Tzibur, and then afterwards daven Shachris Biyachidus. Because, he says, the Kedima that Tfilah Shachris has is because the Tamid Shal Shachar comes before the Musif, and that is based on the din of Tadr Vishaina Tadr Tadr Koidim. Claims Zerbitzlochonet that the Milo of Tfilah B'Tzibur overrides the Milo of being Makdim the Tadr. However, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and the Iris Moshe, Chelik Arachayim, Chelik Dalid Simen Samach Ches, he says that the person should daven Shachris first, even though he's davening Shachris B'Yechidus, and then afterwards daven musaf b'yechidus. He should not daven musaf with the tzibur before davening shachris. And he explains, because the reason why the karban tamid shel shachar comes before the musaf is not because the regular din of tadir v'sheinu tadir koidim. It's because of the din of ha'oyla oyla rishayna. It has to be the first karban of the day. And therefore, it's not a question of the maila of Til B'tzibur overriding the kedima of Tadr. This isn't a din kedima. It's a din that the first tzvila, the first karbin of the day has to be the Tamid Shel Shachar, the tzvila shachris. So you always are supposed to do shachris first, regardless of whether it's at the expense of Til B'tzibur. It would seem that they are having this machloikas. According to Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, the din of Ha'oila Oila Rishayna is a din kedima, like the din of Tadr V'sheinu Tadr Koidim, and therefore you could say that the Milo Tefillah B'Tzibur outweighs it. Masha Enkir Reb Moshe is assuming, like the Mikdash David, who's explaining Al Kaponim in the Das Rabbeinu Gershom and Rashi's Lishna Basra in Menaches, that the halacha of Ha'oila Oila Rishayna is not a din kedima, it's a din mesuyim, that the carbon tamid is supposed to be the first carbon of the day. Now, what needs explanation is that according to the Mikdash David, once there is a pasuk of Ha'oila Oila Rishayna, that explains, of course, why it wasn't enough to have the pasuk of Milvad Oila Saboiker, because we needed to say this added chiddush, that it needs to be the first carbon of day. As we explained, there are certain nafkaminas, but we're left wondering, then why do you need the pasuk of Asher La'Oila Satamid to tell me the din that you have to bring the carbon tamid first because it is tadir? You don't need that din anymore. Once we have halacha that the carbon tamid must be the first carbon, that luchar includes everything. So why do we need the special din of tadir v'she'ena tadir koidim? So in order to answer this question, we first have to give a clearer picture as to what exactly is the gather of this halacha that the tamid has to be the first carbon of the day. Once we clearly define its gather, we'll be able to come back and answer why we need another din called tadir v'she'ena tadir koidim. Now, the reason why the gedder is not so simple, it cannot just be a halacha that there's a din in the carbon tamid that it's supposed to be the first carbon, because we see two very interesting things that point to the fact that the gedder is not a very simple thing. Number one, Tosfos in the same place, in the beginning of the 10th parak of Zvachim, has a tzad to say that any carbon that is brought before the Tamid Shel Shachar is a pasul carbon. And they bring a raya from the Tosefta to that effect. It happens to be that that is the mashmos of the sugya in Pesachim, daf ayin gimel amud beis. And the question is obvious. Whether we understand that the din of the Tamid coming before other karbonis is a din kedima, like we explained is the sheet of the Tosfos, and whether we explain that it's supposed to be the first carbon of the day. But why would that make a halacha that a different carbon that you bring before the Tamid should be pasul? It's not a halacha in other karbonis. There's no din in other karbonis that they're supposed to become after the Tamid. Rather, there's a special din that the oila rishayna that the Tamid is supposed to be the first carbon of the day. And since it's not halacha in other karbonis, rather seemingly only halacha in the tamid, how would we be able to pasul other karbonis when you weren't mekayim a din that's a halacha in the tamid? That other carbon was done kimitzvase, it was brought properly. You weren't mekayim a special din in the tamid, but why would that have any bearing on other karbonis? That is clue number one. The second clue is there's a Ramban in the Hashmotis to the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He writes the mitzvahs that the Rambam left out of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Aseh Yud Aleph. He says that the Aseh of Hashlama, which is the Aseh that you're not allowed to bring karbonis after the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, aside from the din that you're not allowed to bring karbonis before the Tamid Shel Shachar, there's also halacha that you're not allowed to bring karbonis after the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, and the Ramban puts those two halachas as part of one mitzvah. He says, Shedinstavenu lahakriv kol hakarbonis haboim b'nedava oy b'choiva. You're supposed to bring all karbonis, whether they be karbonis of the dava or obligatory karbonis, bein shnei hatamidim, between the two tamidim. Loi koidim tamid shel shachar, not before the tamid shel shachar, v'loi achar tamid shel bein harabayim, and not after the tamid shel bein harabayim. And he brings the pasuk v'aruch aleha ha'oila v'hikter aleha chalvei hashlamim. So you see that those two halachas are the same. Now that clearly shows that it's not a halacha in the tamid shel shachar at all. It's not a din kedima the tamid shel shachar, and it's not even the halacha simply that the tamid shel shachar is supposed to be the first carbon because of a maila that the tamid shel shachar has. It's a halacha that other karbonis are supposed to be sandwiched in between these two tamidim. And that happens to be Rashi's Lashon in Parshas Pinchas, that al oilas hatamid magid she'ein kareven hamusafen ela bein shnei hatamidim. The Rambam in Hilchas Tmidin u'Misafin also seems to put these two halachas together. He says, "Lefi she'asar lahakriv karban klal koidem tamid shel shachar v'lo yishoich din karban acher tamid shel bein harbayim chutz mikarban pesach levadai." Now the Rambam is over there discussing a halacha that's got nothing to do with tamid shel shachar. He's talking about the reason why they were ma'acher the tamid shel bein harbayim and only shechted it by shmoinu mechza. And the question is, why would he bechlal mention the fact that the tamid shel shachar is something you're not allowed to bring karbanis before? Right now he's talking about the fact you're not allowed to bring karbanis after the tamid shel bein harbayim. Obviously the Rambam sees these two halachas as part of the same reality. So once we know that, then our first clue is a little bit easier to understand. Once we say that there's a halacha in other karbanis, that they're supposed to be situated in between the two tmidim, in between the tamid shel shachar and the tamid shel bein harbayim, then it's already possible to say that if you didn't do it that way, you weren't mekayim that din, that could passel the karban. Because indeed, it's not halacha in the tamid shel shachar per se, nor is it halacha in the tamid shel bein harbayim per se. It's only halacha in other karbanis that they're supposed to happen in between the two tamidim. Like we dashed, v'aruch aleha ha'oila v'hikter aleha chel v'ashlamim, aleha hashlam kolar karbanis kulam, that all the karbanis are supposed to be aleha, meaning on the tamid shel shachar, and not al chaverta. Now, let's try to understand that halacha, because if we say the words that it has to be brought aleha on it, that doesn't sound like the Torah is saying that it's supposed to be brought after the tamid shel shachar. That's not aleha on the tamid shel shachar. It is after the tamid shel shachar. What do we mean when we say aleha, that it has to be brought on the tamid shel shachar? Now, the key to understand this halacha can be found in the Gemara earlier on Daf Chav Dalet and Rashi over there. Over there, we learned that the halacha, that if a zar is misader the atzei hamarocha, he sets up the atzei hamarocha, according to Rav, the person is pater from Misa. The reason is because we know there's a rule that a zar is only chay of Misa if he does an avoida tama, an avoida she'ein achareha avoida, something that is the end of a process. And Rav holds that you're pater from Misa for being misader atzei marocha, because being misader atzei marocha is not an avoida tama, because there is an avoida that follows it. What is the avoida that comes after sidur amarocha? Says the Gemara, the Sidur Eivarim, which means the Eivarim of the Tamid. Explains Rashi, Sidur Eivarim, the Tamid, Basrei, that the Sidur of the Eivarim, organizing the Eivarim of the Tamid on the Maracha, comes after the Sidur Maracha. Says Rashi, V'chol zeh me'avoidas ha-sidurhu. All of that is part of the Avoidas ha-sidur. Now, what in the world is that supposed to mean? How do you see the Sidur of the Maracha and Sidur Eivarim all part of one process? One is halacha in the Maracha, and the other is halacha in the Tamid. The answer is, like the Rabbeinu Chananel says in Daf Chav Zayin, that the Tamid, being the first carbon, part of its din is, he says, the Lashon v'nerach be'etzim she'ala eish, the Tamid is set up, is organized on the etzim that are ala eish, that you, on the fire that you set up for the maracha, she'oysa ha'eish al ha'mizbeach v'alav kol ha'karbonis. You see that the Tamid, part of the din of the erection of the Ivaria Tamid, is to complete the Maracha, meaning that all karbanis have to be put on the Maracha. But what does it mean they have to put on the Maracha? What comprises that Maracha? What comprises the Maracha is Eish, Eitzim, and the Ivaria Tamid. The Ivaria Tamid is part of the Maracha. We now understand what we mean when we say v'hikter aleha chel v'hashlamim. All karbanis have to be mukter, they have to be burnt aleha, on it. On it means on the tamid. On the tamid literally, not just after the tamid. It's not aleha that are supposed to come after the tamid. It's because the din of these karbanis is to be burnt on the etzim and the evarei ha-tamid. The evarei ha-tamid turns into gecholim, and you're supposed to be makdir other karbanis on the Evarei HaTamid together with the Maracha. That is the Maracha that you're supposed to use for all other karbanis. And that's why it's considered a avoida sheyesh achareha avoida. The Seder of the Atzei Maracha is not complete until you're misader also the Evarei HaTamid on top of them to make it a complete Maracha. We now understand what we mean when we say that the karbanis are supposed to be brought after the Tamid Shel Shachar and prior to the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, because it says, V'hiktir aleha chel v'ashlamim aleha v'loy al chaverta. How is that all considered one din? The reason is because the Torah defined a halacha in all karbanis, what you're supposed to be makter them on. You're supposed to be makter these karbanis on the Ivari Tamid and not the Ivari Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. And it's all part of one din, like we mentioned from the Ramban and the Rambam. So it's pashit, according to this, why there would be a tzad to say that other karbonis are pasul, because the Torah told you a certain way of how you're supposed to be makdir them. Lefizeh, we could come back and answer very simply why we would need another pasuk asher lo'ila satamid to talk about tadir v'she'enu tadir, tadir koidim. Because according to this hesber, it's clear that the din of the kedima of the oila to all other karbonis, the karbon tamid supposed to come prior to other karbonis, is only a halacha in the haktarah. Because its halacha is in order to facilitate the proper maracha to burn other karbonis on the mizbeach. But the shechita, the zrika, the avodas hadam, definitely, based on this pasuk, it has no reason to precede other karbonis. So Tosfos, who mentions such an idea, that one pasuk is coming for the haktarah of the evarim, and the other pasuk is coming for the shechita and the avodas hadam, doesn't explain it, and Tosfos is just giving it as a suggestion, because Tosfos holds that there's a din kedima, so maybe one pasuk is telling me that the Avodas Adam is a din kedima, and the other pasuk is telling me that the Haktar is a din kedima. According to what we're saying, it's muchach to say this teretz, because this is only halacha to facilitate the Haktar of the other karbonis, to make an aleha, to make other karbonis being muktar on the evarim of the tamid. This has nothing to do with kedima of the karbon tamid. It has to do with other karbonis having the proper maracha. So how do I know that you're supposed to shech the karbon tamid and do its Avodas Adam before other karbonis? For that, you need the pasuk of Asher lo'ilas ha'tamid to tell me that there's a din of tadr v'she'enet tadr, tadr koidim. So it comes out that we really have two ways so far of explaining the din of ha'oila oila rishayna. According to Tosfos, it's the same type of din kedima, like the din of tadr v'she'enet tadr, tadr koidim, and the only question is why we need two psukim for the same din kedima, and Tosfos gives explanations why you would need to tell me the same halacha twice. According to the way we're being masber, based on all of this information, the halacha of Asher lo'ilas ha'tamid is a din of tadr v'she'enet tadr, tadr koidim. It's a din kedima of the tamid. Masha'en ken, the din of ha'oila oila rishayna is not a din of the tamid at all. It's a halacha in other karbonis that they have to be hukter on the evari ha'tamid. There is one more way to understand the gedder of the din ha'oila oila rishayna, not as a din kedima like Tosfos, and also not like the way we're being masber, that's a halacha in other karbonis, that they have to be hukter on the tamid. Rather, this comes from the lashon of Rashi on Daf Chav Zayin, where Rashi says halacha that the Torah was his kikra. The Torah required that the tamid shel shachar has a ma'aracha chadasha, a new ma'aracha of eight him every morning. So this also is not a din kedima, that the tamid has to be brought before other karbonis. It's not because it's supposed to be prior to other karbonis, and it's also not halacha in other karbonis that they have to be hukter on the tamid. Rather, a special din in the tamid that it needs a ma'aracha chadasha. And therefore, if you bring other karbonis before the tamid, the problem is that you now don't have a ma'aracha chadasha. It's a ma'aracha yishana. Now, according to this, we also could answer Tosfos' kasha very simply by saying that this halacha is only halacha in the haktara. That's clear. It's a din that it needs a maracha chadasha, but we don't know anything about the avodas hadam, the shechita of the tamid, because there's no din kedima that we learn out so far about the tamid that has to come before other karbonis. The pasuk of Asher lo'ilas ha'tamid teaches us that it has to come before other karbonis. So we now have three ways of understanding the din of the tamid having to come before other karbonis. Either a din kedima like Tosfos, or a halacha in other karbonis that they have to be hukter on the evari ha'tamid as part of their maracha. And thirdly, Shitas Rashi would seem to be that it's a halacha in the tamid itself that it needs a maracha chadasha. According to Rashi's understanding, theoretically, if somebody were to take another carbon, be makter on the mizbech, and then make a new maracha, a maracha chadasha, and be makter the evari ha'tamid on it, it should be fine. The Gemara tells us that the mincha comes before the chavitin. The mincha that goes along with the karbon tamid always comes before the chavitin, and the reason for that is because it says in the pasuk, oila u'mincha. Oila u'mincha is written, as Rashi says, l'hakav isher l'Hashem oila u'mincha zevach nesechem dvar yoyim b'yoyimoy, which teaches us that the mincha that goes along with the oila has to be right after the oila. That's oila u'mincha, v'layafsiku chavitin bein oila l'mincha satamid. Now, the Yerushalmi, in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, gives a different reason why the mincha satamid comes before the chavitin. Yerushalmi says, because the mincha satamid is a carbon tzibur, and the mincha chavitin is a carbon yachid. It's the carbon mincha of the Kohen Gadol. So a carbon tzibur always precedes a carbon yachid. And the question is, since that's a rule that the Bavli also agrees to, as is mevor in the Gemara in Harius, daf yud gimel amud aleph, it says over there that if you have a seer avodis kechavim and a seer of a nasi, when a nasi is nichshel in avodis kechavim, he has to bring a special carbon. The seer avodis kechavim of the tzibur comes before the seer of the nasi. And the Gemara says, because high tzibur v'high yachid. So you see, the Bavli agrees to this rule that a carbon tzibur always is brought before a carbon yachid. If that's the case, then why does our Gemara have to be mamtzi a pasik v'oyla o'mincha to tell me that the minchas hatamid comes before the chavitin? So perhaps we can say that there's a yesodistic machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi as to whether we consider the mincha of the chavitim of the Kohen Gadol a carbon yachid or a carbon tzibur. The Bavli holds that it's considered a carbon tzibur, and therefore it's not enough to say that a carbon tzibur comes before a carbon yachid. Mashenka, the Yerushalmi holds that it has a din of a carbon yachid. Why would we consider the Chavit Kohen Gadol a carbon tzibur if it's something that's only brought by the Kohen Gadol? So for this we can bring a raya from the sugya later, and daf nun amud aleph, the Gemara brings the Mishnah in Tmura, daf yudalet amud aleph, where the Tanakhama says that a carbon tzibur is doicha Shabbos, and a carbon yachid is not doicha Shabbos. Reb Meir asks on the Tanakhama, v'aloi par yom kippurim v'chavite kain gadol u'pesach the carbon yachid hu v'doicha Shabbos v'satuma. We see examples of karbonis. The examples that he gives of karbonis which are considered karbonis yachid are par of the yom kippurim, chavite kain gadol, and carbon pesach. And he says that you see that even a carbon yachid is doicha Shabbos. So Reb Meir definitely holds chavite kain gadol is a carbon yachid. The Gemara then says, "Lav mechlal the Tanakama svirle." That must mean that the Tanakama holds that par yom kippurim is a carbon tzibur, because if Reb Meir is trying to prove the Tanakama wrong by saying that these karbonis are karbonis yachid and the doicha Shabbos, and the Tanakama argues and he says that it's only karbon tzibur which is doicha Shabbos, so what does the Tanakama do with the raya from par yom kippurim? Says the Gemara, must be the Tanakama holds that the par yom kippurim is considered a karbon tzibur. And the Gemara explains the reason why the par yom kippurim is considered a karbon tzibur is because gam echav hakoyanim miskapren boy. Also, the kehanim, the other kehanim, are miskapren with the par yom kippurim. Now the Taisis Shonim over there says, why don't we ask the question of the Tanakama from the Chavite Kohen Gadol? That's definitely a carbon yachid. And you can't say the time that the Gemara says by the Par Yom Kippurim that Echov HaKohenim is Kaprim Boy, because the Chavite Kohen Gadol is Mesuyim, it is specific to the Kohen Gadol and not to the other Kohanim. Answer the Taisis Yishonim, V'yesh loymar, kivin shekrevim im minchas tzibur, kari le carbon tzibur. One teretz the Taz Yishonim gives is that the Tanakama holds that since it's brought together with the minchas tzibur, it's called a carbon tzibur. Continues the Taz Yishonim, V'oy de kayin gadol shemeis, v'loyminu acher tachtav mevien chavitim mishal tzibur. Since if the kayin gadol were to die, and they did not yet appoint another kayin gadol in his place, they bring the carbon chavitin of the kayin gadol from the funds of the tzibur. And the Ritva says exactly like the Taz Yishonim, both terutzim. Now, according to their kasha, they obviously were assuming that the minchas chavitin of the kayin gadol is a carbon yachid. The teretz, that since it's brought together with the minchas tzibur, it's called a carbon tzibur, cannot mean that they are keeping the hanacha that it's a carbon yachid and just saying that it's called a carbon tzibur because it's brought together with the minchas tzibur, because that wouldn't answer the original question. The original question was, how could the Tanakama maintain that it's only a carbon tzibur that's doicha Shabbos and Tumah if you see that the chavitin of the Kohen Gadol is a carbon yachid and it's still doicha Shabbos and Tumah? So therefore, when they say the words that it's called a carbon tzibur, what they mean is that it has the gether of a carbon tzibur. And that would have to mean that in essence it's really a carbon that's mutal on the tzibur, except that the one who's responsible to bring the carbon is the Kohen Gadol. And another raya they bring in their v'oid, in the second teretz, which is that since if the Kohen Gadol were to die, the tzibur does bring it, so you see that it's really the responsibility of the tzibur. It's just that the representative of the tzibur is the Kohen Gadol usually. If there's no Kohen Gadol, then the tzibur is the one that, of course, has to bring it. So both terutzim are really oilem bekana echad. And the truth is that if you take a look at the Karen Oira in Harius, that Vav Med Aleph, he says that a chavite Kohen Gadol is the chavis hayoim b'shvil kol Yisrael. Ela the Kohen Gadol mevia. The Kohen Gadol is the one who's responsible to bring this carbon, but at its root, it is a carbon tzibur. So we could say that this is the sheet of the Bavli. The Bavli holds that the Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol is really a carbon tzibur. And since it's a carbon tzibur, you don't have the tam that the Yerushalmi gives. This would, by the way, answer a kasha that the Minchas Chinuch asks in Mitzvah Kuf Ayin Aleph. The Minchas Chinuch asks that how could a Kohen Gadol, who's a Mitzoyra, if he gets tzaras, how could he bring the carbon chavitin? We paskin that a mitzoyra einoi mishaleach karbonoisev. A mitzoyra is not allowed to send his karbonis to be brought by somebody else. Now that, of course, is only a problem if we see the minchas chavitin as a personal carbon of the Kohen Gadol. Then it fits into the rule that a mitzoyra einoi mishaleach karbonoisev. But if he's just the nitzig, he's just the representative of the tzibur to bring the carbon, but it's really a carbon tzibur, then it wouldn't be subject to the rule that mitzoyra einoi mishaleach karbonoisev, because it's not his carbon. We never find that a mitzoyra cannot be mafresh a carbon for somebody else and send it through a shliach. Similarly, there's a kasha that the Ar Samech asks on the Rambam. The Rambam in Per Gimel, Tamidin and Musafin, Alachach of Beis, paskins that if the Kohen Gadol dies in the morning, his Yarshin bring the carbon chavitin in the afternoon. And the Ar Samech asks, how could his Yarshin, how could his son bring the chavitin for his father? He's an Oinin, and the rule is that an Oinin is also not allowed to be Mishalech Karbonoisev. According to what we just said, it would answer the question the same way we answer the question about Mitzoyru. The Mishnah said that if the Kohen Gadol was a Zaken or an Istinus, he can't handle cold water, so they are Mechamel Echamen before Yom Kippur. The Gemara brings a Braisa, Tanya Amr of Yehuda, Ashoshiyah Shal Barzel, Hayu Mechamen Me'erv Yom Kippurim. They used to heat up pieces of barzel, of iron, and they would put it into the cold water on Yom Kippur, Kedei Shetofik Tzinosan. The Gemara asks, V'haloi Mitzareif. When you heat up metal and then put it into cold water, that strengthens the metal. So that's a iser called mitzarif. Rashi in Shabbos Daf Mem Aleph Mabez de Bermaschel v'Haloi says that this is the Gemar Melechas HaTzorfin. Gemar Melechas HaTzorfin means that the Rashi holds that it's usher because of the Melech of Makkah v'Patish. The Rambam, on the other hand, in Hilchus Shabbos, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Beis, says that you're chayav because it's a tolda of mechabeh. The reason why the Rambam doesn't want to say the Yerchai B'Shem Makkah B'Patish is because the Rambam in many places is mavur, that he doesn't understand the Melechas Makkah B'Patish the same way Rashi does. Rashi all over explains Makkah B'Patish is Gemar Melacha. Whenever you do something that's the last step in perfecting something, that's the Melacha of Makkah B'Patish. However, the Rambam in Kama Mekoymes says that Makkah B'Patish is whenever you do something that's the derech of an umon. Meleches Machsheves, it's translated by the Targum Unklis to be the melacha that an umon does. And the Rambam, in many places, when he's talking about Makkah B'Patish, he says, because that is the derech of the umnin. Anytime a person does a skillful thing, something that requires umnis, he's chayiv mishum Makkah B'Patish, unless you could find another melacha that it's shayich to. That's based on the famous Yerushalmi that says that Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish spent 3.5 years learning Hilchos Shabbos, and they came to the conclusion that any malacha that we have an av to relate it to is a tolda of that particular av, and any malacha that is a malacha but we don't have an av that we can relate it to, they were tolda on Makkah B'Patish. Because Makkah B'Patish is the example of something that an uman does, a skillful worker does the Makkah B'Patish, and if you'll take a look at the Rambam throughout Hilchos Shabbos, he uses this terminology, Shekach Derech Umnin. By Mappis Mursa, the Rambam says that that's the Derech HaRoifim, and that's why he says, Yerchai Mishum Makkah B'Patish. When a person sets up the lowest level of stones, the Gemara, in the beginning of Perek HaBoina, the Rambam is the only one who says, Yerchai Mishum Makkah B'Patish, because that is the Derech of people that build. And there are many more examples where the Rambam defines Makkah B'Patish as being the Malacha that is done through an Uman, provided that the Rambam didn't find another Malacha to relate it to. In which case, it's very simple why the Rambam wouldn't say Mitzarif is Chayim Shem Makkah B'Patish, because putting something into cold water is not something that you need an Uman for. Furthermore, like we said, if there's another malacha that you could relate it to, the Rambam always is toiling in that malacha. So since the act of putting something into the cold water is similar enough to the act of mechabeh, the Rambam had a malacha to relate it to, and therefore was toiling on the malacha of mechabeh. And as the Tiferes Yisrael says in his Akdama to Maseches Shabbos, any time you have a dimyan, either in the tachlis or in the act, it could become a tolda of a given av. So even though over here it is not the same as mechaba because you're not putting out a fire, but in the act it's similar to mechaba. So the Gemara's kash over here is that you're doing mitzarev. The Gemara answers, Amar Abibi shalehigia letziruf. It's not hot enough to facilitate a tziruf. You're not going to strengthen it when it's not that temperature that causes the reaction by putting it into cold water. That's called tziruf. Abaye Amar afilu tema shehigia letziruf. We could be talking about where it is that temperature. However, davar she'ein miskaven is mutter. Since the intention over here is not to strengthen the barzel, rather to warm up the water, so that's a davar she'ein miskaven. The Gemara then asks that Abaye Shita seems to be not like Rav Shimon who holds davar she'ein miskaven mutter, rather like Rabbi Yehuda who holds davar she'ein miskaven is usser, because in the Braisa that says that there's a special pasuk telling me that you should do mila even when you have a negatzaras in the makam amila. So the question is, why do you need a pasuk telling me you should do mila? So Abaye says that it's coming to tell me according to Rabbi Yehuda says davar she'ein miskaven is usser. The Gemara takes that to mean that Abaye's shita is like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara answers, "Ahani mil b'chol ater kula aval hachat tziruf d'rabbananhu." Only when it comes to the iraisis, by an iser d'iraisa, like the iser to cut off a baharis, then he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda davar she'ein miskaven is usser. Now Rashi understands in the Gemara that what we mean to say is that tziruf in general is only an iser d'rabbanan, even if you were to do it b'miskaven. And therefore, when you do it b'she'ena miskaven, the Rabbanan were not goyzer. When were the Rabbanan goyzer by an ena miskaven? That was only where the malacha itself is a d'iraisa when you're miskaven. So the case of koizes b'vaheres, if you would be miskaven, then you'd be ervenes a d'iraisa. So it's ena miskaven, then the Rabbanan assert. Masha'en kein tziruf, since it's only a d'rabbanan when you're miskaven, so when it's ena miskaven, the Rabbanan didn't assert. And that's why Rashi says that we're not goyris in our Gemara, ein shvus b'miktish. Tosis brings down in Dibur Maschil, hani milu b'yisur d'araisa, that Rashi wasn't goyzer ein shvus b'miktish for the reason we just mentioned. That he holds that in order to explain why it would be mutter totally over here, you don't have to come on to the time that it happened in the Beis HaMikdash, because this type of ein miskaven has no reason to be usher. The Rabbanan only assered ein miskaven in a case where b'miskaven it would be usher b'daraisa. However, Tosfos asks from the Gemara in Perikira Daf Mem Aleph, where it's mevur that even by tziruf, Rabbi Yehuda asers davar she'enu miskaven. Over there, we're talking about a mecham shepinu mimenu mayim. It was a receptacle that's used to heat up water. You took out the water from it. You're not allowed to put in cold water because you're being mitzarif, and that's the malach of tziruf that we're talking about in our sugya. And yet, we say that it's aser, even though it's enu miskaven. The person's intention is not to do tziruf. Tosfos answers this question on Rashi by saying that you could explain that there's a difference between the type of tziruf that's happening in that sugya and the type of tziruf that's happening here. In that sugya, we're talking about a kli. By a kli, the tziruf is a real tziruf. Only in our sugya, that we're talking about ashoshias, which are just pieces of barzel that the person does not yet have any tzoruch for. It's not like they're formed into a kli that you could say there's gemar melachtoi of that kli by being mitzarifit. Masha'en kein, by a real kli like a mecham, there we could call it an iser d'araisa when you do tziruf, and that's why when it's enu miskaven, there's at least an iser d'rabbanan. Now, Tosfos themselves don't learn like Rashi. They say that the kavana of the Gemara is not to say that only by something that would be usser midairaisa when you're miskaven, that's where it's usser midrabbanan, where it's enu miskaven. Rather, we are dealing with a case that would be usser midrabbanan, but they have the girsa ein shvus b'miktosh. So over here, we're talking about tziruf that would be usser midrabbanan if it's enu miskaven. Just like we see in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem Aleph, that they mentioned before, that you see that tziruf is something that could be usser midrabbanan, even when it's enu miskaven. It's just that since over here we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash, ein shvus b'miktosh. The reason why it could be that Rashi didn't want to learn like Tosfos, he didn't want to use the girsa of ein shvus b'miktosh and learn like the mahalach of Tosfos, is because the klal of ein shvus b'miktosh does not necessarily apply to every scenario that something happens in the Beis HaMikdash. In Pesachim Daf Samach Hei Amud Aleph, there's a discussion about a shvus that's not letzorich avoida. Is that considered mutter in the Beis HaMikdash or not? And it's machloikis between Reb Nosson and the Chacham. So it's Machlokes Tanoim. Now, even if we paskin like the Chachamim, then Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, even by someone gets not Letzerich Avoida, but to say that this Eitz of Ashosh Yeshel Barzel was only according to Chacham and not according to Reb Nosson, Rashi doesn't want to do. Then Reb Nosson holds that when something is not Letzerich Avoida, it's called Shvus that's Aser in the Beis HaMikdash. You don't have the Heter of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. So you could say that even though the Kohen Gadol needs to be Toivol, but something that is for the needs of somebody that needs to do the Avoida is not called Tzorich Avoida. Another Hesber could be based on a kasha that the Achrayim ask, why were you allowed to be matter over here, Shvus B'Mikdash, if there was another Eitzah? You don't have to dafk use Ashoshias on Yom Kippur. You could heat up water from before Yom Kippur and add hot water to the mikveh. So in the Sefer Afer the Ara Klal Dalet, he wants to explain, as well as the Mishnah Melech in the end of Ilchus Beis HaBechira, that when something is a Torah Gadol, they were still matter Shvus B'Mikdash, even if you have another Eitzah. But it could be that not every time using hot water is considered a Torah Gadol, so Rashi does not want to resort to the Heter of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. Now, another obvious question that's asked on our sugya is that even if Dover She'enu Miskaven Mutter, and therefore the Gemara wants to be Mater when the Ashoshis are already Higil at Tziruf, they're at the temperature that allows for Tziruf when you put them into cold water. However, we know that the klal is that Dover She'enu Miskaven, when it's a psik reishi, it's inevitably going to happen, is still usher. So how does it help with the fact that it's considered a Dover She'enu Miskaven, even if Yol Dover She'enu Miskaven Mutter, but psik reishi is usher, even according to Reb Shimon? Now, there seems to be a machlokes rishonim whether tziruf is considered a psik reishi or not. According to the Aruch, the Tosis brings down, tziruf is inevitably going to happen. It is a psik reishi. The reason why it's not aser, says the Aruch, his famous yisoid, that a psik reishi d'loy nichale, a psik reishi that the person has no interest in, is not aser. Because, says the Aruch, we're talking about that the ashoshis do not belong to the person that's putting them into the water, and therefore he has no interest in being mitzarif these ashoshis. A psik reishi d'loy nichale is not aser. However, the Ritva learns that Tziruf cannot be a psik reishi. If we have psik reishi, then it doesn't make a difference that it's leinichale. The Ritva disagrees with the aside of the Aruch. He holds that a psik reishi leinichale is also aser by Darvash Shein and Miskaven. And the reason why it's mutter over here is because it's not a psik reishi. He says not all metal is the same, and it doesn't necessarily have to happen that it's going to become mitzuruf. Rabbi Chanan explains in Ksubis Davav that the reason why they argue that Hezbrin Machlokes Rishonim between the Aruch and the other Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Tam over there, and our Ritva that learned that Psik Reshid Leinichalei is indeed Aser, is dependent on the Hezber. What does it mean when the Gemara says Moider Reb Shimon Psik Reshid, that Reb Shimon who says Davar Shein Miskaven is Mutter, why is he Moider that Psik Reshid is Aser? There are two ways to understand. He says, let's take for example a Nazir who's doing chafifa, he's washing his hair. It says that he's not allowed to be soirik, he's not allowed to comb his hair because sirika is a psik reisha, it's going to automatically remove hairs. Is the pshat in that? That since he knows that it's going to remove hairs, that's called mechavin. Psik reisha by a dover she'enu miskaven is considered mechavin because the person knows that it's inevitably going to happen. If that's the way you understand, says Rabbi Chanan, then when it's loy nichale, when the person has no interest in doing the act that he's not allowed to do, like in the case of a nazir, he has no interest in removing hairs. If the person has no interest in removing hairs, then you can't say that the fact that it's a psik reisha makes him like a mechavin. Because he may know that it's going to happen, but he's definitely not mechavin for that act. It's still a dover she'enu miskaven. Even an inevitable thing is called a dover she'enu miskaven if it's something that he doesn't care about or he doesn't have any interest in. It's only something that's nichale that we could say that since you know inevitably it's going to happen and you're not doing anything to prevent it, so you're doing an act which has an inevitable outcome that you're happy about, so then we say that it's considered like you're miskaven. Don't tell me you're not being miskaven to do this. You're miskaven for both things. However, says Rabbi Chanan, there's another way to understand why a psik reishe is usher by a dover she'enu miskaven. It could be that when a nazir, let's say, combs his hair, it's a psik reishe that it's going to remove hairs, then we say that the act of combing includes the talisha of the hair. Removal of hair is considered nichlal in the act of combing. And because of that, it's enough to just be mechavin for combing. Even if you're not mechavin for talisha, for removal of hair, talisha is included in srika. So therefore it makes no difference that it's not nichale with the tlishi. He doesn't care or have no. He doesn't have interest in removal over here. You still can't pater him because we say that you're mechaven for the act of srika, and srika includes the outcome of tlisha. So the question really is, do we consider you a mechaven for the outcome? We mechaven for the gufa malacha, or is the pshat that you're considered a mechaven for that maisa? But that maisa is considered something that includes this outcome. So Rabbi Chanan says the aruch holds like the first tzad. That what psik resha does is make you like you're mechaven for the outcome, and if it's loy nichalei, so we know that you're not mechaven for that outcome. Mashe enkein, the other rishonim hold like the second tzad, that psik resha just makes it that it's included in the act, so it doesn't help me that the person is loy nichalei for this outcome, because the reason why you're chayiv is not because you're considered a mechaven for the outcome, rather you're mechaven for the maisa, and since the person was mechaven for the maisa, it doesn't help me that it's loy nichalei with this outcome. There's another teretz given as to why, by the case of the tziruf of the ashashias, we don't care about psik resha. And this could be found in the Magid Mishnah in Perk Yud Beis Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Beis. And it's a famous yisoy that the Magid Mishnah is mechadish over here and is used in other places. The yisoy that the Magid Mishnah says is that although very often when something's a psik resha, we say that he's chayv even though he's ainu mechaven, but there are certain things that when the person is not mechaven for it, there is no malacha whatsoever. He says, in the case of tziruf, kishu miskaven hu oise malacha, uchsheinu miskaven ein boi malacha klal, sharei ainu roitza lasis bimenu kli. He says it's similar to the case of a person who breaks a splinter off of a piece of wood. If the person is mechaven for the using it as a toothpick, then we say that he did a malacha of tikkun. He created a toothpick. However, if the person has no interest in a toothpick, then we say that it's not considered like you created a toothpick. There are certain things that a byproduct of an act that a person does has to be with kavana. Otherwise, we don't look at the byproduct as being definitive in terms of the act that he did. It may be true that the person created something that could be used as a toothpick, but since creating something as a toothpick requires imagination, you don't always say that when a person does something, now it's something that is useful. You need context to consider it a toothpick. The person has kavana and he wanted to use it as a toothpick, then we say that he did an act of creating a toothpick. But without that kavana, the act itself is not defined as an act of creating a toothpick. The same thing is true about tziruf, says the Magid Mishnah. Tziruf of a kli is something that if you have an interest in it, then we could look at your act as being an act of tziruf. But any person that didn't have any intention to be mitzaref the kli, then we don't look at your act as being an automatic act of tziruf. The Magen Avram brings this down in some Shin Yudal Tzivkat and Hay. He says that when a person digs a guma, he digs a pit, and he has no interest not in the dirt and not in the pit. He's not interested in using the pit. He doesn't have to use the dirt either. He says, although the person did an act of digging a pit, which ordinarily is considered a ma'aseh of boina, but if a person has no interest in a pit, then we don't look at this as being a creation of a pit. It's a creation of a pit for somebody who has a need for a pit. Somebody who is not interested in having a hole in the ground, we don't say you did something constructive, because who says that it's called a constructive thing? If you need it, then it is constructive. So this is a category of types of malachis, which in order for them to be considered a ma'aseh malacha, require the context. Most malachas are objective. If a person throws a seed into the ground, he's doing the malacha zareya because zareya is automatically defined as a constructive thing. But a hole in the ground or a tziruf of a kli is not necessarily seen objectively as a constructive thing, and it requires the person's kavana in order to give it definition as a malacha.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.